he will not rest until he has finished the thing this day. Now, Boaz went up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the near kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto his near kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth the parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech. And I thought to disclose it unto thee, saying, Buy it before them that sit here, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the near kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Take thou my right of redemption on thee, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning exchanging to confirm all things. A man drew off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the near kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thyself. And he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Kilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left thee this day without a near kinsman, and let his name be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law who loveth thee, who is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There was a son born to Naomi. And they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ham begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, We thank you for all the events and the lives recorded in thy word concerning thy people. We remember that you told us about the things that happened unto the nation of Israel. We are so glad of this. You've told us about men of other nations as well, good men and evil men. But all of these things have been instructive unto us, and we thank you, our God. You are he who thought of creating life. Thou art the living God, and having created angels, thou didst decide to create man. And you placed him upon earth, and you told him how to live. And our Father, some have lived after a fashion, the way you told them, and others have miserably failed. And we thank you for the lessons that can be learned from those who obeyed thee as well as from those who disobeyed thee. We are so glad, our God, for this portion of thy word concerning those who obeyed thee. So bless these teachings to our heart. We thank you for this day. Our God, let us know that upon this day, so long ago, thy Son, who laid in the tomb, rose from the dead. Our God, he who lay there, was raised up by the power of God, and he is that final link in the chain of which we've read this night. We thank you for the words that he spoke unto John. Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. We are thankful that all power is given unto thy Son, and we are given unto him as well. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. Our Father, so long ago we came to thy Son, and thou dost know whether we have been worthy servants, but concerning even our unworthiness, he has not cast us out. We thank you. So, our God, for all of these things that bring Christ to mind and your creation to mind and the ultimate goal, we thank you, our God. So teach us from the portion this night, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I told you about some women who know how to work things, who know the minds of men better than they do. Naomi was one such person. You remember also about Rebecca, Isaac's wife? She knew about her husband's ways, and in a bad way, knowing his mind, she planned this deed for her son, Jacob. Naomi also knew the heart of man, and her plan to have Ruth propose marriage to Boaz turned out to be successful. It was a time that could have been calamitous. This book could never have been written unless the delicate matter of Ruth proposing to Boaz and saying, I am your handmaid. You are my near kinsman. Cover thy daughter. Unless Boaz had done that, then all of this beautiful book would never have been written. But he did cover her with his skirt, as the Lord covers us with his feathers. And now, he makes this promise, and what is so remarkable is the rapidity with which things take place once this night has passed. He sends Ruth to her mother-in-law with this abundance of grain and tells her all that was taking place. And then this is Naomi, who understands the heart of man so well. She says unto Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For this man will not rest till he hath finished the thing this day. So after so long an existence in the veil of sorrow, you remember that verse I read to you this morning? That weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And the weeping in the life of Ruth has lasted so many years. It tells us that this weeping in the life of Naomi went on for 10 years. There was famine in the land of Bethlehem, and she goes to Moab, and her husband dies weeping. And then her husband's married, and her husband's sons marry, and there is weeping when one son dies, the other son dies. And then there is weeping when she would part from her daughters-in-law, so much weeping. And now she comes back, and listen to her testimony when she returned. Call me not Naomi, that is pleasantness, sweetness, call me not that anymore, but call me Mara, bitter, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. So here is the night of weeping. Weeping has come in to tarry for the night. But I told you that the morning light began to appear when she returned to her old homeland, Bethlehem, and it was the time of barley harvest. And then the light more and more began to shine, and having begun to shine, it shines more brightly until the consummation that I have read to you in this chapter. Now, think of Ruth, and what is so remarkable is this, that we are never told the outcome in expansive language, as we are told how she went to reap in the field and how she proposed to Boaz. All we are told is this, then said Naomi to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. And so here is this young woman, and she has to sit still while Boaz carries out the responsibilities that are his. She simply has to sit until they see how the matter will fall. Now, it never tells us that Boaz came and spoke to her, but I will read you this verse. It says, so Boaz took Ruth. But think of this now. Think of it, that when Boaz went through all the necessities to confirm this buying of the land of Naomi and buying of Ruth the Moabitess to be his wife, then he comes and Ruth sees him approaching their dwelling place. And when he comes, he says to her, all is well. You can be my wife. And she had been sitting there, and she did not have to wait so long. Remember how long she had been waiting? Boaz had showed her kindness week after week after week. And so for at least 2 months, he had shown her the kindness of allowing her to glean in his fields. But nothing had ever been said about the graver responsibility that was his, if one that was nearer a kinsman redeemer to her than he would not fulfill that obligation. Nothing was said about that responsibility until the night that Naomi sends her to speak to Boaz about it. And when it is brought to his attention, immediately he says, I will see to it. The Lord confirms that I'm going to do this. This is the way that he puts it. It says this, as the Lord liveth, I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. Lie down until the morning. Now let me ask you, how many friends do you have who make you a promise, and when they make that promise, you can lie down with certainty and with peace and contentment that what they have promised will be carried out? Are you one who makes promises and breaks them? Or are you one who will diligently carry out the responsibilities that God has placed upon you? There are so many of us who do not want to do that. Some responsibilities come upon us because of circumstances. And this is one. Who would know that Elimelech would go down to Moab and that his sons would get married, and then Naomi would come back with a widowed daughter-in-law? Who would know all of this? And suddenly this woman that comes back it is now your responsibility, Boaz, to do something about this widowed woman. All of these responsibilities that fall upon you. And some shun those responsibilities. Let me tell you about God's anticipation of those things. God anticipates so much. He says this concerning you. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He does not want us to sin, but God has anticipated failure on our part, and therefore our Savior at God's right hand intercedes for us. Now, in like manner, I shan't read it to you, but I read to you about the levy rate marriage. That means the responsibility of one brother when his brother dies and does not leave seed to raise up seed for his brother. That was the responsibility that fell upon him. And I say fell upon him because here is this brother. He has his wife and family. And here is his brother that has married this woman. And he is perhaps his wife and family. But what happens is that this brother dies. And now, immediately, God says the responsibility has fallen upon you to marry your brother's wife and to raise up seed for your brother. And some were unable to assume that responsibility. And if he did not, God was not going to let him get by with it without embarrassment. If not, in the presence of witnesses, this widowed woman of his brother went up and loosed the shoe on his foot and spat in his face and said, thus is the treatment of one who will not raise up seed unto his brother. And God was not going to let it pass without it being known. And I assure you that all who saw that woman spit in the man's face, they would never forget it. The woman would never forget it. And the man would never forget it. And he was one who would say, I was not prepared to assume the responsibilities that came my way. And this is what happens to us so often. We flee from those responsibilities, but Boaz was not such a man. I told you that what I believe was in his mind was this, that he had seen this woman, he admired the woman, he loved the woman, but he was an older man, and he did not want to propose to her and have her to marry him without first making known to one who had the right of a kinsman redeemer greater than he. There was one that was nearer of kin to Ruth's dead husband, Mahlon, than he, and he did not want to bring it up lest he propose to the woman and she love him and marry him, and then the nearest kinsman redeemer had this opportunity taken away from him. But finally, when the woman comes and proposes to him, then he must go and speak to one that is nearer of kin. Now, I do not know how old Boaz was, but from what is conveyed by this book is that he was an older man, that he was not married, and that he did not have a family of his own. And if this is so, if he is an old man, if there is one who is a nearer kinsman, it seems as if Elimelech has a nearer kinsman who is a brother. And then Elimelech's brother is to marry Ruth. Think of this. If Boaz is an older man, how much older would one who would be Boaz's father's brother? How much older would he be? So this is a condition that exists. And here is Ruth. And even though she looked at Boaz and he is an older man, if she looked at one that's old enough to be his father, but that is what responsibility lay before her, and I assure you this, that even though Ruth's will was to love this man and marry Boaz, I believe from all the testimony given concerning her in this book that she would have married an even older man, because she was fulfilling all the responsibilities that was associated with this new religion that she had found. You see, she had come to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. And what are all his doctrines and precepts? They are these, that you who married this Israelite, who died, you are now to marry his kinsman redeemer. She was prepared to do that. And all of these things were going through Boaz's mind, and because of that, the responsibility that fell upon him, once he received courage, the momentum to go and do something about it, Naomi had read his mind. She said, you sit still. The matter will be settled this day. The man will not rest until the matter is settled this day. And sure enough, notice, they had been, and I wonder what his condition was. Here he had been sleeping with this lovely young lady at his feet all night long, and he rises up early in the morning, and now he has to go. I wonder how much sleep he had. I wonder what their feelings are. But here, in the morning, it says, verse 1 of chapter 4, Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. Now, I would wonder, why would not Boaz go to this relative's house and talk to him there? Why not talk to him and bring him down to the gate? I cannot tell you that, but just as in the case of Naomi saying, now this is the way I want you to propose to him, it was not that she spoke to him in daylight about this matter, but it was at night in the way that she proposed. And in like manner, here is Boaz, and he goes and he sits at the gate of the city, and he waits to see if the kinsman comes. But what if he wasn't coming that day? He would sit there all day long? We're not told that. But it says, he went down there, and behold, the near kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such an one. Now think, how often God gives us obscure names of people. We would say, why is that name given? And yet, here is the one who should have married Ruth, whose name should appear as a progenitor of David, and yet he would not assume the responsibility that was his, and God does not even give us his name. Ho, such an one. I think sure that I would know my uncle's name, my uncle Hardy, my uncle Dan, my uncle Jink. I know all my uncles. I would know that. And so if this man is his uncle, God does not even give us his name. Ho, such an one. Turn aside. Sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And now, here is a man who assumes responsibility. I marvel at this man, and I admire this man who had this ability and who would carry out his responsibility. This is what it says in the book of Romans. We are to be diligent in business. We are not to be slothful in our diligence. We are to be diligent. And so once this man sees what his responsibility is, immediately he's going to be diligent in business. And the Bible says all things are to be done decently and in order. And so here is a man that comes and he directly confronts in the presence of witnesses this one who is a nearer kinsman than he to Ruth the Moabitess. And he lays before him all these responsibilities. Now, this man would know as well as Boaz, the responsibilities, and nothing had ever been done. I told you this. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it speaks about children requiting their parents. It says, if any man provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith. He's worse than an infidel. So here is this nearer kinsman redeemer. He knows that Naomi has come back, that she is the wife of his brother, and yet nothing has been done that God tells us about. Here are some who will shun their responsibilities until they are brought face to face with them, but at least when that happens, some of us will accept the responsibilities that are ours. But all of this is done in a way that cannot be backed away from for this reason. It's in the presence of the people that are in the gate, and 10 men of the elders of the city, and they're all sitting down. And then he lays before him his responsibility, as Ruth told him, lying at his feet, the responsibility of a kinsman redeemer. Now, this is how it goes. He tells about Naomi going to sell this parcel of land that was our brother Elimelech, and he said, I thought to disclose it unto thee. He said, now, you buy it. You're the nearest kinsman. But if you do not buy it, I have to buy it because I am next after you. And the man said, I will buy it. Think of the heart of Boaz when he said that. This woman that I love, I was hoping this man would say no, but he says, I will buy it. But there's one other thing. He said, Uncle, just one other thing. If you buy the land, you also have to marry Ruth the Moabitess to raise up children to our brother Elimelech. And then listen to this. Look down at verse 6. And the near kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Take thou my right of redemption on thee, for I cannot redeem it. Now, what does this mean? It may mean this. It may mean I could marry the woman, but as Zelophehad, who had all daughters and no sons, and then they had to marry other men of their own tribe so that the inheritance could be kept in that tribe. So this man may have had all daughters. He may not have had as yet a son. We're not told the reason. But he tells Boaz, I cannot redeem it. You redeem it. I cannot redeem it, lest I mar mine inheritance. So, this is a legitimate excuse. God wanted this man's name to be carried on in Israel, as well as Elimelech's name to be carried on in Israel, and yet we do not know who this man was. But God said, I want his name carried on, and he said, I cannot do it, lest I mar mine own inheritance. And when he said that, then Boaz said, I will buy the land, and I will marry Ruth the Moabitess. All right. I told you the interesting procedure when a brother would not marry his dead brother's widow. So here is another way of attestation. Look at it at verse 7. It says, now this was the custom in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning exchanging to confirm all things. A man drew off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was the matter of attestation in Israel. So the near kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thyself. And he drew off his shoe. So if ever at a later date he saw how beautiful this woman was, he saw how excellent a farm this land was, and he said, I want now to be that redeemer. Boaz could say, oh no, oh no. He said, do you recognize this? He said, why, yes, it's my shoe. He said, this is my testimony. It is mine. And that's the way they did it. Now, we would have a legal paper signed and certified, and that's what we would display. But this was the custom back in those days, that you take off your shoe. And the man would say, well, where is the pair of these shoes? Where is the one that matches it? And you would say, here it is. Yes, and it will fit you. This is your shoe. This is the way that it was attested, that this right to redeem the land that was yours, it is now mine. And this was their custom. So he drew off the shoe, and he gave it to Boaz. Now notice, the decency, the order. And now, in the presence of all of these witnesses, Boaz publicly declares, he says, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, as well as all the land that was associated with this matter, to raise up a name to the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And they all bore witness to this fact. So all of this is taking place, and Ruth is waiting, wondering what will happen. And now all that she had wanted and all that Boaz had wanted is now in place to come to pass. And then it says, so Boaz took Ruth. He came and told her, and her heart rejoiced, and the heart of this older man rejoiced. And even though sorrow had come in, weeping, so much lamentation for so many years in the life of this family. Now, you see, the mourning is beginning to break. It's getting lighter and lighter, and weeping is coming to an end, and joy is going to come in the morning. Now, I wonder what you would say if one, like Boaz, had it to be his lot to get a young, beautiful, virtuous wife, to have all the land in addition to his own land, the land of his brother Mahlon, his kinsman. What would you think of that? I wonder if there would be any jealousy on your part. Look at what they say here. As soon as they hear it and they bear witness to it, they say this. It says, "The Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and Leah." And then he speaks of Perez and Tamar and all of those. And so immediately, this old man that is to marry this woman, they're talking about children in abundance coming into their lives. But these are blessings that were spoken by friends, like others. You look at them and you say, "Well, I see you have three children. It would be nice if you have a boy to come in your family." Don't talk to me about any more children. Well, here it says in the Psalms of Ascent that children are a blessing of the Lord. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And yet we look upon them as burdens, as responsibilities. But we do not want to assume the responsibilities. But now, let me show you what is so beautiful that this responsibility is assumed. And when it is assumed, look at verse 15. It says, "And he shall be to thee a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age." This is beautiful. God has not left Naomi in her old age without a kinsman redeemer, and he is going to be one who puts new life into her thinking, her hope, her aspirations, and he's going to be a nourisher of her in her old age. So often when people get old, they have to cry unto God, as the psalmist does, "Cast me not away in the time of my old age." And it seemed as if perhaps this would be the end of Naomi. But God, in his goodness, gave her a kinsman redeemer to nourish her, to bring life again into her hopes in her old age. All right, and listen to what he says also, these women say to her. "And it speaks about thy daughter-in-law who loveth thee." What could be greater than to have someone who is not your blood relation to love you? Can you who have daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, can you say that they love you? So often there is the standing humor about daughters-in-laws and sons-in-laws and fathers and mothers-in-laws. It should not be that way. But here is one, and it's a blessing. "Thy daughter-in-law who loveth thee." And I told you in past weeks about all the love and the manifestation of that love that Ruth had to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And it says, "Who is better to thee than seven sons?" Well, here is a woman who had two sons, and they both died. And here is a woman who did not come from her womb, and yet they say, "This woman is better to you than seven sons." That's the way we're going to have to think at times. Some of us do not have physical families. I'm thinking of the Apostle Paul. How many children did that man have? You say, he had no children that God tells us about. He was a man who had no wife. And yet, let me ask you, how many spiritual children did he have? You say, probably more than any other man. Yes, that's true. And we have to fall upon that portion that our Savior said, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister?" And he looked upon his followers and said, "Behold, my brother and my sister and my mother. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father in heaven, the same is my mother, my brother, and my sister." So here is a woman that is no kin to Ruth, and yet to Naomi, and yet Ruth is better to her than seven sons. And through this woman, this Moabitess, God uses her to bring into the life of Naomi a child. And this is what it says. Naomi became nurse to it and took it to her bosom. And now, all of us who are grandparents, you who are grandparents, who say, oh, now my grandchildren are coming into my life. In this case, here is a grandchild that a grandmother would be willing to keep all the time. She loves it. She nourishes it. Now that child is her life. Notice the responsibility. The responsibility of this young woman. I am to raise up a name to my dead husband. She assumed that responsibility. Boaz assumed his responsibility. And now this grandmother, now she has gladly taken over this responsibility of being nurse to this child. So some of the things that we look upon as burdens can be joys. So think of that when you consider the family that you have. Now this, and this is rather strange, and yet it's so beautiful. Verse 17, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there was a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. You say, Obed, what does that mean? The name means servant. And how fortuitous and how beautiful that such a name would be chosen, reminding us of our Savior, this one who was an ancestor of our Savior. It says this, the Lord Jesus said, which is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? He said, but I am among you as him who serveth. And that's the word here, the servant. And the Apostle Paul said, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And James said, a servant of the Lord. And Peter says it, and Jude says it. They take nothing better than the name Obed, a servant. And so here, for some reason, they give this child's name the name of servant. And then it simply tells us that he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Have you ever read those words in Psalm 45? It says, instead of the fathers shall be the children. So you think about these who went before, but then you think of him who came after. Not the fathers, but the children. And then it mentions, we have Boaz, and we have Obed, and we have Jesse, and then we have David, the good king of Israel, the man after God's own heart. So, this is how it leads. It tells us of those who assumed their responsibilities, and such good came out of it. Now, time is gone. So remember, weeping may endure for the night, but joy, the joy like unto that of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, joy cometh in the morning. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know how hard it is to endure famine, to have so many tears to fall from our eyes, to see loved ones die, one and another and another. And our Father, it looks as if morning will never come, as if weeping has come in to endure forever in our lives. Our God, the Son, it seems that way. And it may not be that in this life, that weeping that came in for the night is going to pass away. But we are thankful that thou hast told us in the coming day, as in the lives of Ruth and Naomi, in the land of the living, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We pray, Father, for all of these here, that the weeping that they have experienced, it shall soon pass, that their night shall disappear, and joy may come in the morning in this lifetime. But if not, Father, we thank you for the assurance that the weeping may tarry for the whole of our lifetime. Joy is going to come in the morning. His servants shall serve him, they shall see his face, and God shall wipe away all tears. We are thankful for the end of the matter in the life of every child of God who loves thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We rejoice in thee. So, Father, bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.